Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio. Brought to you by OnPay. Built in Atlanta, OnPay is the top-rated payroll and HR software anywhere. Get 1 month free at onpay.com. Now, here's your host.
Lee Cantor here, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio, and this is going to be a good one. But before we get started, it's important to recognize our sponsor, OnPay. Without them, we could not be sharing these stories. Today on Atlanta Business Radio, we have Mac Reese with Gateway, the developer of 8 West. Welcome, Mac.
Thank you, Lee. Glad to be participating.
Well, tell us about Gateway. How are you serving folks?
Well, I'm a native Georgian. I'm not from Atlanta, but I went to Georgia Tech, received an undergrad and graduate degree, and then went to work for a large Texas-based developer, and then started my own business 25 years ago. And we have developed a bit of an expertise in developing mixed-use projects around universities. And so I've had the good fortune of working around my alma mater, Georgia Tech, for about 20 years and developed the initial phase of what we all call Tech Square on the east side of campus at Fifth Street. And now are in about the fifth year of working on the 8 West project, which is at 8th and Howell Middle and West Midtown. So I've kind of gone from the east side of campus to the west side of campus. Oddly enough, leads back to where I started my Georgia Tech career in the summer of 1979. I lived in one of the dormitories of what they call the Tech West Residential Campus. So not far from where I began 41 years ago.
You're coming full circle.
Yeah, I guess you could say that.
Now, what makes developing around universities attractive?
Well, universities, all universities are great demand drivers for residential housing, for students and faculty, for retail. You know, it's kind of changed. Back when I was in college, we had a student center where the on-campus food was, but now students like a diversity of food. And so, particularly food service meets the demand driven by the students. And in an office space, universities are good at a lot of things. But research universities are not particularly good at predicting space needs because they get grants, and that seeds the need for office space. And then companies. So the world's kind of changed now, where a lot of companies look to universities for both internship employees and for ideas, proprietary technology. Georgia Tech is about an $800 to $900 million a year research institution. A lot of that is what's called industry-sponsored research, and so a lot of those companies want to work with the research institution to basically create their own research center. So that's going to capsule what drives demand for these mixed-use projects.
Now, is every university have the same opportunity? Like Georgia State is just down the road from Georgia Tech. Does that, in your mind, have a similar opportunity?
It's interesting that you ask. I actually was in Athens today. We're trying to help them with a project by the university. They're a different type of university, different needs. Georgia State, we're working with them on a student housing project. So it varies. Georgia Tech is unique, and I say this proudly, not just because I'm a graduate of the Institute, but Tech's mission, in addition to the core mission of education and research, is economic development. Tech was created in Reconstruction after the Civil War, in large part to help rebuild Atlanta and the South. That's why Tech is where it is. And so Tech culturally has always worked with the city of Atlanta and the state to try to create companies through innovation, commercialization, and then recruit companies and help build companies. And Tech takes that role very seriously. And give an example, Lee, the Tech Square project we did, the Synergy project, has the highest concentration of corporate innovation centers of any place in the country. And so we've got probably 25 different innovation centers in the building that we still own called Synergy. AT&T is there. Anthem is there. Delta, the list goes on and on. So these are corporate entities that work with the Institute to not only, again, recruit their employees, but also to create new proprietary technologies in the industries that they serve. And A-West is just another alternative. You know, West Midtown is a different place. I kind of tend to think that East Midtown, core Midtown, with its gridded street systems and all new construction, been fabricated as a modern city. West Midtown successfully, I think, kind of merges the old with the new. If you think about West Midtown, the rail lines there that really seeded Atlanta's early economic growth, that area was abandoned back in the 60s and 70s. And you had restaurants that moved in and artists that moved in and a variety of things and single-story warehouse buildings. And that fabric of the area remains. And so we and then other developers in the Hollow Mill Quarter have, I think, fairly creatively gone in and added new high-rise buildings. But in many cases, particularly us at A-West, we've been able to keep so many of the older existing buildings that have restaurants and, you know, all people, regardless of age, but particularly the millennial group that are the employees for a lot of these companies, they like that environment. You know, you don't walk down a street, a gridded street system with a canyon of buildings. You have a myriad of different building types, and there's something that's pleasing to the eye about that. And very pedestrian oriented, and 8 West really is a product of that fairly eclectic, unusual mix of old and new.
So how, as a developer, do you kind of make that decision of to keep things old and new or to start from scratch and just build from the ground up? Like, how do you decide what path to take? Is that in partnership with the city? Like, how do you make those decisions?
Well, that's a good question. And before the interview, I was thinking about that. You know, I think like a lot of real estate projects, they evolve over time, and sometimes the end product is not what you initially envisioned. And again, I go back to 8 West. If you're familiar with that area, it's at Hollow Mill and Marietta, where those two roads converge. And they run basically north-south, and you got 8th Street that goes east-west. We made a decision early on to keep the existing single-story retail buildings. But that's, you know, in large part, that's the magic of West Midtown, is being on that Marietta Hollow Mill Quarter. That's where Octane Coffee is, and Bacato, and Bartaco, and some art galleries, and cool places. So the challenge for us with that configuration, and about an 11-foot change in topography going from west back to east. So we sited a rectangular office building directly behind the retail buildings. That took into account the grade change, the topography change. And then we had to architecturally design it in a way where it kind of fit into the fabric of the community. And then basically, Lee, we deliver vacant speculative office space to the marketplace. And our bet, that's a market-based bet, are that companies will then be attracted to that space and then want to lease that space. And that's the ultimate bet. So what we try to do is, and I think we're fairly good at this, work with architects and engineers, is to create that inventory of vacant space that we can then market to prospective companies, knowing that those prospective companies, most of which are technology or creative based, how they're going to deploy their workforce. And most of them want to be in open systems. They want to be in loft buildings. These are important, but not critical. Natural light is important, and then having a diversity of outdoor amenity spaces. Like, we've got, I think, 5 different types of exterior roof terrace areas on the first floor, the second floor, and then the 9th floor. And then we've got a rooftop terrace that we've done as well, with extraordinary views looking back east to Midtown and downtown. So it's kind of our job, and you know, we try to, and then we have to balance that against the budget. So we work to budgets. But at the end of the day, we've got to have a product that's going to be appealing, not just to the companies, but it's got to be appealing to the individual employee who's going to work there. Because that's what's driving companies' decisions today, is can they both recruit and then retain their employees.
Now, did you have to make any kind of pivots since the pandemic? I mean, this project's been in motion for a while, and then now you have a pandemic. happening. Did anything change dramatically, or is it just kind of going boldly forward?
Well, you know, construction was deemed an essential service by the city and the state, so we didn't miss a beat on construction. But yeah, we pivoted back in March when one of our early prospective tenants decided to put their decision on hold. They were concerned about what the virus would do to their workforce. They're still out there, and we're still hopeful that when the world returns to normal. But absolutely, it's changed how we market the building, to whom we market it to. I tell you, kind of an interesting side story, Lee, is one of the types of spaces that's now in high demand is what we call walk-up space. So don't know where you work, but individuals who work in high-rise office buildings, unless you want to walk 20 flights of stairs, you take elevators. And elevators are a concern, whether it's valid or not, they're a concern for people who work in high-density areas. So what's become appealing to the workforce are the first and second and third floor spaces where you can walk directly into the spaces from the street. So one of the ways we pivoted is we have now gone to market the first, second, third floor space to larger prospects because their employees can enter our building walking up from Third Street. That's on the east side, from Marriott Ohio Mill on the west side, and then 8th Street to the north side. So the individuals have three different points of access, and then we can construct internal stairwells. So that's a really good example of how we pivot. And, yeah, we do that every day. Some of it's based upon intuition. Some of it's based upon the feedback we get from tenants and their respective brokers.
Now, let's talk about the mural. What was the thinking behind that?
We're talking about pivoting, so when we were developing 8 West, you know, these aren't greenfield sites, and so you struggle to assemble enough land. And we purchased a building owned by our partner, George Rorick, who's a wonderful entrepreneur, real estate investor in Atlanta. And the building was occupied by Laura Hathaway, who had a very successful art gallery. And Laura has been terrific. And so we relocated Laura next to our administrative leasing office on Howell Mills. So she's working with us. We share space with her, and she's in the art business. And so when we did that, we engaged her in art. She's worked closely with us to not only select art that's going to go in the interior of the building, but she has her art gallery right there. So a lot of our employees and the various tenants, and then kind of companies we recruit are interested in art. You know, they're creative people, so they're interested in the visual element, not just of architecture, but the individual art. So we made that a theme from day one, both in the interior and then the exterior art wall as well.
So now the piece is called From the Ground Up.
Yeah, that's relevant, isn't it? so the when you ask me about pivot, you've asked that question, is how do we modify and change from time to time? If you all or your listeners are interested much in architecture of office buildings, multi-tenanted, multi-floored office buildings share certain common areas like restrooms and mechanical rooms. Typically, that's on the interior, the middle of a building. That's called a center core. The leasable space is around it. And those of y'all who have been in office buildings, you know what I mean from a user's perspective. In this case, somewhat because of the nature of the site and also because we thought our prospective tenants would have open office systems, we did what's called an offset core. So we put the core of the building, which were the elevators, the stairwell, the restrooms, up against the east-facing side of the building. And when we did it, there was a stretch about 100 feet wide and 150 feet tall that did not have windows. So we then went through a myriad of different design options, from masonry, just a brick wall, to metal panels, and considered a variety of different things. And I can't remember to whom I should give the credit. Frankly, maybe no one individual, a little bit of serendipity. We just all collectively decided that we would put art on it just because of Laura Hathaway's involvement and how we wanted to make art front and center. Then the challenge became what kind of art do you do? How do you fabricate it? How do you install it? Do you do it electronically? We consider electronic pieces. We have budget constraints too. I mean, we couldn't afford some of the more sophisticated type of art applications. And I think most importantly, Lee, we wanted something authentic that kind of looked like it would had been there a while. So we ultimately decided that we would do a mural applied art. And then the question became, if it was a mural, you know, how do you paint it? If it's a masonry piece that you paint or a metal piece, that would be difficult. So kind of an odd twist. One of my close friends, Fred Sheets' daughter, Mary, works for Anthony Desjoux. And through that connection, we got to meet Anthony Desjoux, who's terrific, been a great vendor to us, very creative. And Anthony runs as an arts business in West Midtown as the crow flies, probably not more than 2 miles from 8 West. And he not only engaged it, but he came up with a concept for how they could engage one of their artists and then how we could fabricate it and then install it remotely. So they would basically put the art together, then bring it in on panels. So that's how we determined we would build it. And then the question became, what is the art and who's the artist? And I can't recall exactly how it evolved back to Craig Allen, but he's one of Anthony's artists. And so Anthony thought he would be the best. We met Craig. He is a native Georgian. He's interesting. He's very modest. He's got a national, perhaps global appeal. In fact, he does have an international appeal, come to think of it. And his concept was to design art from the images of people. And so once we selected him, and then it was a matter of, well, what in the world is he going to draw on the side of this building that could be beautiful, inspirational, non-controversial, all those things that we wanted. And I can't recall exactly. Again, I think it was just a combination of our different thoughts. The Phoenix has a long history. In Atlanta, primarily after the Civil War, when the city rose out of the ashes. Hard to believe, it's a side topic. Atlanta only had 20,000 people at the Civil War. So it's still not a big city, and it's risen from 20,000 people in the late 1800s to almost 7 million people today. So a remarkable story. And as Atlanta has grown, it's been influenced by a lot of different individuals, people. Who helped build the city, literally and figuratively, and people from all walks of life, from all races, all genders, all nationalities. It's become a global city. And so we kind of came up with this concept that would have dual purpose. One is the Phoenix, that's emblematic of Atlanta's rise as a city. Then also the people who made it work. And then both Anthony and Craig, to their credit, kind of created this Phoenix concept that showed people who were further away, which is symptomatic of COVID, who then came together as one big, great group. So it's got multiple meanings, coincidentally relevant to our world today. But at the rise of the Phoenix here, it shows everybody coming together, which, of course, is our expectation and hope. And it's just so far received terrific reviews from a lot of people. I can't help but to be prideful and enjoy the view of it. And it looks different. So when you see it up close, you see the people. And when you get further away, you see the Phoenix. It's just a terrific addition to the city's landscape.
Had you ever done a mural of that size in any of your other developments?
I've never done a mural in my life. So this is my first. I'm a Georgia Tech guy, so I'm not the most creative person in the world. My wife is. And my children are pretty creative and artistic. I'm not. But I enjoy beautiful things. I absolutely love architecture. It's for those of us in the real estate development business, we also have a civic responsibility. I mean, we are building vertical buildings that will affect the way people function and live and work. They affect the image of the city from a distance. And so there's a great civic responsibility for those of us who are in the design, development, financing, ownership business. I mean, we are owners in this building. We just didn't develop it. So we felt a civic pride in doing something that the larger city and for visitors could be inspired by.
So you think that...
But no, it wasn't. It wasn't me. It's the Craig Allens of the world who deserve all the attribute. Both he and Anthony
Right, but it takes you got to give them the space to do what their magic. So you think that murals will be part as you move forward in developing other things, that you'll consider murals as part of that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's funny. I was the video, if you sent it or not, but there was a video done of it. It's just terrific. And I received it. I hate to say this. I think I was awake about 2 o'clock this past Sunday morning. I got up and looked at my phone, and I'd received the video from Felipe. He did it, and I was just so inspired. I got up the next morning, and I sent it to a bunch of friends, and we're developing a similar project in Charleston, South Carolina, and I sent it to them, and I said, we should think about how we integrate art into our projects, just because it brings people together, and it's just amazing. Art has a unique ability in our very complicated world today. To bring people together, and you don't necessarily have to like it. I mean, some people like blue, some people like red in terms of artistic colors, and some people like abstract art, some people like fine art. But I think creating something that's unique and different, blending in with architecture, is a wonderful thing. I hope that this inspires different people in my line of business to try to do, you know, tastefully design art within their buildings. And I think there's some places they fit, some places they don't. I don't think a mural necessarily fits in core Midtown or downtown Atlanta. Maybe in certain areas it would, but in West Midtown, given the artistic flavor of West Midtown, I think it fits very well. Anthony, I got to add to you too, just kind of as a side topic, but I was so fascinated with West Midtown, I kind of did a long history of West Midtown and how it was created, and just has a great history and story about the artist, chef, different restaurants, you know, all the things that make West Midtown such a great place to live and work and be. And, you know, there are a lot of artists and restaurants in these older buildings that have been there a long time, and it's just terrific to see that they've been able to survive. So I think that's where West Midtown is unique to Atlanta, and that it, again, it blends the old with the new. And so many of those existing businesses have been able to remain either because they own their buildings or because they have long-term leases. And, you know, we are just one of many developers that have embraced that and included it in the development. And I will tell you, the feedback we're getting from prospective tenants, both residential tenants, there's also a 264 unit apartment complex as a part 8 West that our friends at Tramaco Residential are developing. Leonard Wood and Justin Adams are our partners. They're doing a great job. And, you know, most of their residents have kind of embraced what we've provided there at Marietta and Hollow Mill.
Now, if a business is interested in leasing at 8 West, is there a niche that you're serving? You mentioned a lot of creative and tech companies. Is it a great fit for other types of industries?
Sure. I mean, we are capitalists and we are doing this to make a living one day, and we want long-term leases with credit tenants. And so we've had some service-based industry folks that have inquired, you know, by that, I mean, legal firms and accounting firms. So I think any other industry, you haven't seen many medical groups. You know, I mentioned earlier, it used to be when I started in this business 35 years ago that, you know, the CEOs made the decisions about whether the companies would be located. And that's fundamentally changed the last 10 years. And every CEO and every corporation, whether they're a private entrepreneurial company or a public company, makes decisions about their office locations based upon where their workforce wants to work. And so if you're a media-related company, if you're a marketing company, if you're a technology company, and your workforce, regardless of age or creative people, then, you know, these in-town markets, and again, particularly West Midtown, have become very attractive for those kind of companies. I think the more true service-based companies, financial industries, accounting firms, the law firms, and so forth, they're a little bit more interested in core Midtown, downtown, and Buckhead along the Peachtree Corridor. So it just depends. You know, Atlanta's is an attractive city because it embraces economic growth and companies. Unfortunately, we've got kind of a little bit of everything for everybody in Atlanta.
Now, if somebody wanted to learn more, is there a website?
It's 8westmidtown.com. So they can go to 8westmidtown.com.
Good stuff. Well, Mac, thank you so much for sharing your story. Congratulations on all the success and really for opening up the building to art like that. I think that can really impact the whole kind of look and feel of the area. It brings everybody together. That's great.
Well, I agree, Lee, and thank you for making time, and thank you for your listeners for listening in today.
All right. This is Lee Cantor. We will see y'all next time on Atlanta Business Radio. And remember, this work would not be possible without the support of our sponsor, OnPay. Please support them so we can continue to share these important stories.
Today's episode of Atlanta Business Radio is brought to you by OnPay. Built in Atlanta, OnPay is the top-rated payroll and HR software anywhere. Get 1 month free at onpay.com.